Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org. This is Matthew Gage, and once again, this is Baptist Basics University. Thank you for listening today as we continue our series with the survey of the Bible survey. And this will be lesson number 2 in that series. And today we'll be looking at beginning a look at the Old Testament with the first 5 books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. Now, let me go ahead. We did an introduction last time, just a broad overview of what the Bible is, and dealt with some important subjects like inspiration and preservation. Well, let me give you an outline of how we're actually going to go in and deal with this survey. We're going to follow an outline similar to what I'm going to do today. We're going to do a brief introduction to the section of books we're dealing with, and we'll just explain kind of what's going on, what's being covered. And then we'll look at each book individually, and we'll just look at a few kind of key things about the book. And I'll try to use generally this same outline, but we'll have to adapt it to fit some of the different styles and topics of the different books. But we'll follow an outline similar to this. We will talk about who wrote the book. We'll talk about if the title, if there's some general meaning to the title. Now, you know, with Isaiah and Jeremiah, that's pretty simple. They wrote the book. But in cases such as Genesis, it actually has a meaning, and we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about one of the key things I want to be able to do is give you a little bit of a reference for when these books were written, what's going on, kind of place it historically. And to give you an idea of that, one of the key things I want to do is give you some dates. Now, I've talked about the dates before, how it's pretty much as a guess, and everybody's guess is as good as anybody else's. But for the most part, I'm going to try to follow James Usher's chronology. It's been around. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's the dates that are in the notes in there. So we're going to try to follow those just for the sake of keeping things simple and kind of keep things where everything will match up as best we can. But I've already run into, even studying this, some different opinions on some of the dates that varied, you know, within about a 50, 60 year span. So these dates are as good a guess as anybody's, but I want to just give you, especially the further back we go into history, the harder it is to place exact dates. And honestly, get down to it, past about 400 years ago, it's hard to place exact dates because the calendars are always changing and stuff. But we'll give you a good approximate date of when the book was written. We'll talk about the time span that the book covers. We will then talk about kind of what the main subject or theme of the book is. If there are kind of key verses to it, that's something you see a lot of times when someone puts together a study of a book. You know, they'll go in and find a verse or two or three that really captures the theme or the spirit of the book. And I've chosen some that I've seen in some of my books, and we'll cover those as an example of what the book is about. Then we're going to have a brief outline. I've tried to keep this very brief. In most cases, in this, it's like 2 or 3 points. But just to give you an idea of the overall structure of the book. And then in these historical books, what I want to do is just give you a few kind of key events that happen in the book that will help you to understand the place of the book, the contents of the book, the theme of the book. And so I think that will be a big help to you. Just remember what the book is about. So to begin, we're going to start at the beginning, all the way in the front of your Bible, with the very first 5 books of the Bible. Now, these 5 books of the Bible are often grouped together, and there's a couple different names that they are given. Some call this group of 5 books the Pentateuch, and that, I believe, is from the Greek, and it just means 5 scrolls. And another one you hear in the Jewish realm is the Torah, and Torah simply means the law. And these 5 books are traditionally attributed to Moses. Now, there are some modern theories that they try to undermine this, and I'm going to give you the traditional views because that's what I tend to believe. I think people try too many times, especially these modern Bible scholars, try too hard to find something new, and they go at the Bible and the study of the Bible by first assuming that everything you know about the Bible is wrong and then trying to undermine it. And I think that's what happened in the last couple hundred years with the study of the Pentateuch, was that people went at it basically to undermine it and to prove that it could not be written by Moses, that it could not have been written in that time span, and went in to attack it. I don't think that scholarship enhanced anything. It actually went in and attacked the very fabric of the Bible. So traditionally, these books are written by Moses, with the exception of the last chapter of Deuteronomy. We'll talk about that. Primarily, these books are historical in nature. Now, there is, when we get into the book of Leviticus, there's a lot of teaching, of regulation, of the law that God is giving Moses for the Jewish people. But for the most part, we're going to classify these as historical books, because they're just laying out what happened, what was said, what was given to the people of Israel. It's not like comparing it to, like, say, the book of Isaiah, where it's prophecies and messages that were given to people. These books really just record what happened. So we're going to just classify them as historical. And basically, these five books are the basis for the Jewish faith. The identity of the Jewish people is contained in these books. And it really is a fascinating study when you look at this as a whole. In the book of Genesis, now we have the creation of the world and such, but really, the book of Genesis takes us from the creation of the world and then narrows it down to, you know, the descendants of Abraham, to the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, and really narrows it down to the children of Israel. And then in the book of Exodus, we have them coming out of Egypt and gaining this identity. And God gives them some commandments to set them apart, to make them a peculiar people, as the Bible says. And that's further enhanced even in the book of Leviticus. And then the book of Numbers pretty much is like the wilderness journey and stuff. But Deuteronomy is Moses reminding them once again, and as they're about to enter into the promised land. So you can look at these five books as one entire storyline of bringing the children of Israel and setting up the nation of Israel and getting them as a nation into the land that God had promised to Abraham. So the whole five books are really one cohesive story when you look at it like that. Now, the time period that's covered here, of course, we in Genesis, chapter 1, we have the creation. Now, depending on when you want to date that, and I say I'm going to use Usher's chronology, and he went in and came up with the exact date and time according, to his study, which was October 23rd, 1404 BC. Now, I'm going to leave off the October 23rd, but the date he uses is 4004 BC, which places the Earth, of course, about 2,000 years or 6,000 years old. So that's a young Earth creation date, which what I hold to. But that date is not as important, because for the most part, what we're dealing with is going to be more recent history than that. But that's just to get a starting point, because Genesis begins with creation. And then it's going to follow up to about 1450 BC. And just to give you an idea of where that places in world history, I did a little bit of looking. And in the 1400s BC is... Egypt is still a major world power. The Hittites are becoming a power. Stuff is beginning to happen in Babylon. It's kind of beginning to take shape. As far as more familiar history, the Athens is actually only in like its second and third kings, according to their to their mythology. So it's very early in world history. I mean, Rome is really not even thought of, and let's say even the classical Greece that we think about is still in its infancy. So this is very early in what we call like classical history. Now, as I said, the primary theme of these books is the establishment of the nation of Israel, the history of how it came to be, who they were, how they came to the land, and then also, you know, their identity, their religion, the laws they had that governed the way that they lived, the way that they acted. All that comes back to these five books. So with that, let's go ahead and we'll jump in and we'll just cover each of these books. Hopefully this won't take very long as we just kind of run through it. That's kind of the biggest shame about this is with 66 books to cover, you know, I can't devote just a whole lot of time. Every one of these, really, you could devote hours upon hours to going through, and you could go verse by verse and word by word and never cover everything. But we're just going to hit the high points as we look through here. So let's look at the book of Genesis first. That's all the way in the very front of your Bible. The very first book of the Bible, Genesis. Now, of course, as we said, the author of this book is Moses. The title, the word Genesis means a beginning. And Genesis is the foundational book of the Bible. It gives you the origin of man. It gives you the origin of the nations. It gives you the origin of the world itself. And it gives you the origin of the nation of Israel. And it's a very important foundational book for everything that follows, not just the continuing history that Moses would write of the nation of Israel, but even theologically, all the key doctrines of the Bible you can trace back to the book of Genesis. Whether it, you know it is atonement or it's there. Even the prophecies concerning Christ are there. I've heard it said that every key Christian doctrine you can trace back to the book of Genesis. Now, the approximate date we're going to say that this was written, it was going to be written sometime probably during the Exodus, during the wilderness journey of Israel. So we're just going to place a late date at it and say 1451 BC, which would be probably the latest possible date. That would be basically Moses writing it in his final days. But and it's very possible it could be written about 40 years before that, but somewhere in that time frame, we'll say, you know, 1491 to 1451 BC. Now, the time covered in the book of Genesis is from creation in the first couple of chapters all the way to the death of Joseph, which takes place around 1635 BC. So depending on how you want to run your chronology on the book of Genesis, you are covering like 1500 to 2000 years of history. A lot of people will say, I've heard it, you know, just round it to about 2,000. And when you think about it, if you believe that Christ will come back very soon in the year 2000, and you are a young earth creationist and believe that the earth is only about 6,000 years old, very possibly one-third of human history is contained in the book of Genesis. It just flies through the early history of mankind, but from Adam to Abraham was somewhere around 1,500 years. It's amazing when you think about the time span that's covered in such a short period of time, and so much stuff we wish we knew more about during that, because the Bible just flies right through that history. The subject of the book of Genesis is the foundation of human history from its creation to, you know, the nations, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and then from that to the beginning, the establishment of the nation of Israel with the call of Abraham, and then really going down through Isaac to Jacob and his children and the nation of Israel founded with them. Now, the key verses that we will use for the book of Genesis is in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And these are, this is the call of God to Abraham, or Abram at the time. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what you have there is the promised Abraham, of the founding of the nation of Israel through his children. And as I say, the story of Genesis basically is just bringing us to the nation of Israel. And the key figure in the book of Genesis is Abraham, because it's the story about how you get to Abraham and then the story about his descendants. So he really is the central figure of the book. And so that's why I chose that to be the key, what I would call the key verses, because really what's going on here is the story about how God called this one man to establish his chosen people, and how that came to be. Now, as far as an outline goes in the book of Genesis, a very simple one would be that through chapters 1 through 11, you would have the creation and foundation of the human world. You have the creation of the world, of mankind, the fall of man. We have the establishment of the nations. We have the flood, the Tower of Babel. And all that is really contained, and it's just broad human history through the first 11 chapters. Now, in chapter 12 is where we get into the, even chapter 11 gets into a little bit, but chapter 12 is where it really turns into with the call of Abraham. So we get into the creation of the nation of Israel from there on. And from chapter 12 all the way to the final chapter, chapter 50, is just the story about the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Jacob's sons. And finally with Joseph, kind of as the major figure in the last few chapters. So, but all those, and the story about, you know, how they came to be, how they survived, how God even would choose to work through Jacob and not Esau, and really showed that line that he was going to work through in this family to establish the nation of Israel. And you could say, well, why is that important? Well, they are God's chosen people. But furthermore, that is the line that Jesus would come through. It is the line that the redemption of mankind would come through. 1500 years or so, 1600 years later, when Jesus Christ would be born. This is that line. This is establishing all of that. The Jewish nation that will be in place at that time is all being, this is the foundation of it. All right, now a few key events to remember in the book of Genesis. First of all, I'd say the creation story. That's the, chapters 1 and 2. Secondly, the fall of man. This is important for many reasons, a lot of them theological, but that's chapter 2, verse 8, through chapter 3, verse 24, and the story about how Adam sinned and fell, the curse that came upon mankind from there. Next kind of key event, I'd say, just to remember that's in the book of Genesis, would be the story of the flood and Noah, building the ark. That's chapter 6 through chapter 9. And then finally, I throw in, going back to our key verses, the call of Abraham. And that's in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, there's many other events that we remember. There's so many great stories that you probably could remember from Sunday school, and so many things we could go into. But those are just kind of some more popular key events. And if you can remember that those things happened in the book of Genesis, you'll have a good idea of recalling what the story is about in the book. So next, let's move on to the book of Exodus. Once again, as we're going to say another three times after this, the author of the book is Moses. Now, the title, Exodus, means a departure. It means leaving. And that is because it is the story about how the nation of Israel left Egypt. Now, the story is, that because of Joseph being in Egypt at the end of Genesis, his whole family is now down there, and they stay down there. Now, that's not where they were supposed to be. God had promised them the land of Canaan, but they're down in Egypt, and over the years, their descendants do not leave, and eventually they become slaves in the nation of Egypt. And the book of Exodus is how God miraculously delivers them and then gives them this new identity through the giving of the law. Now, when was this written? I'm going to go ahead and say 1451 BC again, just to say that maybe this was written in the last years of Moses, but probably sometime in that wilderness journey period, same as the book of Genesis. Now, the time covered in the book, we're going to cover from about 1635 BC with the death of Joseph to 1491 BC is just an approximate date for them leaving Egypt and the events that happened at Mount Sinai. So we are much smaller, was it about 170 years or so, of a time frame that we're looking at from compared to the book of Genesis. The subject, as we've already talked about, is the freeing of Israel from slavehood in Egypt and then the foundation of the Jewish identity, the Jewish religion. Now, the key verse we will use is Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, which is God talking to Moses, and it says, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So, just as a key verse, because the story of Exodus is how the nation of Israel gets out of Egypt and gets on their way to the Promised Land, and that verse really brings that whole theme into play. A brief outline will be chapters 1 through 18 are the story of Moses' early life, his raising, you know, being in the wilderness, the burning bush, going back to Egypt, the plagues, and the Red Sea crossing. All that's going to be in the first 18 chapters. And then chapters 19 through 40 take place at Mount Sinai. And this is the giving of the law to Moses. This is the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the directions for making the tabernacle and building it. So all that takes place there at Mount Sinai, and all that takes place in chapters 19 through 40. Now, some key events in the book of Exodus to remember. Chapter 3 is Moses and the burning bush. Crossing the Red Sea, chapters 13 through 14. And then finally, the Ten Commandments. This is one pretty much you ought to just remember. Exodus chapter 20, specifically verses 3 through 17. But Exodus chapter 20, because that'll come up, and it's a good one to know that the Ten Commandments are in Exodus chapter 20. They're also in the book of Deuteronomy, but this is the easiest place to remember, Exodus chapter 20. And that is the book of Exodus. So, on to the book of Leviticus. Once again, the author is Moses. Now, the title Leviticus basically means from Levi, pertaining to Levi. Levi was the priestly tribe of Israel, of the 12 tribes. The tribe of Levi was given the responsibility of taking care of the tabernacle. They were the priests. And the book of Leviticus, its subject is basically the worship and regulation of the Jewish people. It's the law concerning how they should worship, what they should do, and then even gets very practical in how they should live. Once again, written sometime wilderness journey, 1451 BC is a late date. Everything that's covered here is going to be covered in 1491 BC. This entire book takes place at Mount Sinai, and it's basically just a record of what God gives Moses and these commandments and this law that Moses has, and that's basically what the entire book is. If you begin reading your Bible, you know, it's a new year right now as I'm recording this. It's the 2nd of January, 2012. And, you know, if you've started out reading your Bible and you're going to read it through in the year and you start in Genesis, you're doing really good through Genesis. You've made it through that, you know, well, a few weeks from now anyway, you should be. And then Book of Exodus, that's still pretty exciting. And right about the time you hit the Book of Leviticus is where you start losing steam. Because it just you seem to lose interest when it gets into the regulation of the offerings and the definition of what is clean and what is unclean. This is about the time you really start questioning, well, why did I decide to read my Bible straight through? Because I don't know if I can make it out of the Book of Leviticus. So, but the Book of Leviticus is very important in all this minute detail that's given, even stuff that still Bible scholars look at and debate what it means. You know, why was this commandment given? Why is it phrased like that? There's a lot of good stuff there. We see the character of God in his holiness and how the people are supposed to live and how they're supposed to act. We see his holiness and in the way that he required the people to worship him. We also see there's a lot of foreshadowing, and especially like with the offerings, we see there's a lot of theological implications, how God views sin, and even some foreshadowing of Christ and his atonement that takes place, especially in the laws concerning like the sacrifices. Now, let me flip over here. The key verse we'll use in this one will be Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Says, speak this. Well, let's go back and read verse 1 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And that really is the key idea of Leviticus, is that this chosen people, the nation of Israel, is supposed to be different. They're supposed to be peculiar. And they're supposed to be a holy nation. And these regulations that are given in the book of Leviticus set them apart from everyone else. Even today, the Jewish people in, you know, the Judaism that exists, which is far different now than the Jewish faith back then. But it's still, you can trace it all back. This is the roots of why a Jew believes differently, why they act differently. It all goes back to Moses' law, and the bulk of it is contained right here in the book of Leviticus. Now, the book of Leviticus, as far as an outline goes, can be pretty easily divided into two major sections. Section 1 is regulation of worship, talks about sacrifices and such. That's chapters 1 through 16. And then the second one would be chapter 17 through 27, and that is just the regulation of everyday life. So we kind of see the holiness in worship and then the holiness in life in these two divisions. Now, there is so much, as I say, just minute detail in the book of Leviticus. It's easy to get bogged down. It's not a book that we visit very often. So it's not a book of action. There's much of it is just regulation. It's law. So is there something in here that'd be a kind of a key thing to remember? And the best and easiest thing I can think of is to remember is that chapter 16 is the Day of Atonement. And that chapter deals with how the nation of Israel was supposed to observe the Day of Atonement. Now it's called Yom Kippur. And it goes into the regulations of the scapegoat and how the blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the mercy seat, the only day of the year that and the only time that the high priest ever went into the Holy of Holies was this time. So the Day of Atonement is very important. Theologically, it is amazing to study out how it illustrates Christ's atonement for us and how sin is done away with and covered. It is amazing, amazing chapter to study. And that's chapter 16. That's probably the one chapter of all the, of everything in Book of Leviticus. I'd say, you know, remember that. It takes a while to study that. and not to plug my own website, but let me do that. I actually have a article on my website on the Day of Atonement that I wrote. It was a college paper that I did. And if you want a little bit more information about how they observe the Day of Atonement and some of the significance of the actions on that day, you can go check that out. Go to BaptistBasics.org, click on articles, and I believe the name of it is The Great Day of Atonement. All right, so let's move on now to the fourth book of the five books of Moses. That is the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers. And once again, the author is Moses. Now, the title of the book of Numbers, where does that come from? It just doesn't really seem to fit. Well, it's because in this book, there are two censuses, censuses of the nation of Israel that are taken. One in the very beginning, in chapter 1, I think it actually goes in chapter 2 also, while the nation of Israel was still at Sinai. And then the second one is in chapter 26, and that is after the wilderness journey, as the nation is beginning to prepare to go in and take the promised land. So we get to see how many people there were before and an account of how many people there were after the 40 years of wandering. So that's where the name of the book comes from. It has nothing to do with mathematics or how many people are in your church. It has to do with these censuses that were taken. Now, this would have to be written very late into Moses' life, so we'll just go ahead and say 1451, which, you know, be the last days of Moses as far as writing. Now, as far as time covered, we're going to say 1491 BC to 1451 BC, about a 40-year span. We're going to start off at Sinai. They're going to get up to the Promised Land. They send the spies in. Then they, of course, you know, decide not to go in, and then they go, then you have the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and then the new generation at the end begins to prepare to go into the Promised Land. Now, the key verse we have for this will be chapter 14 and verse 22 and 23. Chapter 14, 22 and 23. And it says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. And that really is the key idea of the book of the book of Numbers. The major story of the Bible is how the nation of Israel gets to the Promised Land. That generation chooses not to follow God's plan, not to have faith in Him. They want to turn back, go to Egypt, and how God rebukes them, how He punishes them, and how only Joshua and Jacob of that generation, Caleb, that's right. Good thing my wife's sitting back there. I went blank. Joshua and Caleb are the only two that get to go in to the Promised Land. So of that generation. So everyone that gets to go into the Promised Land were either very young or were not even born at the time that they were at Kadesh Barnea. So events to remember. The first census, chapters 1 and 2, the story of the 12 spies. That's chapters 13 and 14. And then the second census that's taken is chapter 26. Okay, now on to Deuteronomy as we wrap this up. Deuteronomy, once again, the author is Moses. And we'll get to say that for the last time. The title Deuteronomy literally means second law. And it is a retelling of the journeys of the nation of Israel and a retelling of the law of Moses. This would be written right at the very end. This basically is kind of Moses' final message to the people. It's the story of his final acts. And this would take place right at the very end, 1451 BC. And the time covered is 1451 BC. This is very short time span that's covered. And as I say, as far as the subject goes, the entire book, think of it as a second telling. It's a repeat. And basically, it repeats the story of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And talks about where the nation of Israel came from, the trials that they faced in the wilderness. And then goes into covering the law again also. Now, the key verses will be Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We could go in, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And we can actually keep on going in that little thing. But basically, the idea of those verses is this, the importance of who God is, of the relationship that God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, has to him, and the importance of carrying on that tradition, of passing it down to the next generation, so that the nation of Israel would stay faithful to the commandments that God had given them. Now, an outline of the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 1 through 4, is basically reviewing the wilderness journey. Chapters 5 through 26 is restating the law, just going back into different laws and regulations that were given. Chapters 27 through 30 it has to do with some regulation and stuff, but really is kind of looking forward to going into the land, covering some topics that will be important once the nation gets into the land. And then chapters 31 through 34 are Moses' last days. Now, I forgot to mention, I mentioned in the introduction, as far as the author of Deuteronomy goes, we say that Moses is the author. Well, if you want to go and you want to read in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, Moses probably didn't write the last few verses there, because it talks about, in fact, the whole chapter. Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. And let's see here. Let's go down. And verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. Verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. So either Moses pre-wrote his obituary, or someone else went in and finished that up. And most Bible scholars that I've read will tell you that Joshua probably wrote the final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. So, because in the final few verses, it talks about Joshua taking over command from Moses and how Moses had prepared him and laid hands on him and such. But that final chapter in the five books of Moses was probably written by Joshua. Now, some key events to remember. The Ten Commandments are repeated, and that's in chapter 5. And the one other thing I'd say to remember, we just talked about, is the death of Moses in chapter number 34. So that is the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. That gets us good and started on our journey through the Bible, our tour that we'll take through all 66 books. We've only got 61 left now. And I'm really kind of scared, because the next section we're going to cover a lot of ground, covering the historical books. But that gives us a good foundation, and we've covered a lot of history. We've covered a lot of ground, a lot of very important stuff. Really, in the 40 minutes or so that we've spent here, we have not even scratched the surface of the depth of these books, of the importance of these books. So, which I knew going into that, I knew we wouldn't have time to just go in and really get in real deep and dirty in these books. But Hopefully that gives you a good idea if you're just beginning to study the Bible, or even if you have studied the Bible. I'll tell you what, sometimes we get so wrapped up in studying the minute details, we fail to step back and take a good broad look at the broad picture of the Bible and the major story. You can get so wrapped up in saying this, but that you don't realize that these five books really are one storyline, and that it's just one continuing story that will continue on into the next book, into the book of Joshua, and it just keeps right on going. But anyway, we'll call that good, and we will wrap up this lesson. I appreciate you listening today. Hope that you've enjoyed it. You can check out the other podcasts and other resources at BaptistBasics.org. You can email me, podcast@BaptistBasics.org. I've also been asking you if you take some time, if you use iTunes, I'd appreciate if you would go in and rate the podcast inside of iTunes. Just it kind of helps in the search results and stuff. I would appreciate that. And that's it. I will see you next time. I'm Matthew Gage. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you today.